Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone, founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Finding God in Prison. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here once again, and just want to thank God for the opportunity to touch hearts and to change minds as we begin our show today. We have a wonderful show. Mr. Jeff Collins will be joining us. Jeff is a wingman and a gentleman I met at the House of Corrections many years ago. And Jeff is a graduate of the WINGS program who's doing very, very well in his recovery program and reentry program. And Jeff is really a man of his word. And we're going to invite him back on the air this morning to talk about the progress he's made and his success in reentry. This is our 15th broadcast. And once again, you're listening to Joe Montone, your host. And Finding God in Prison really is a blessing, as many men who are incarcerated, more than 2 million throughout the nation, are developing their faith within prison walls. And today we're going to talk a little bit about Jeff's faith and how his faith has helped him to, you know, move forward, to propel him into doing some great things. And Jeff is really, you know, a personal friend today. And Jeff Collins is in his early 50s. He's done quite well in his recovery from substance abuse, earned his high school diploma or GED, and is now studying for the CDL license with Allstate. And so we just want to give you a little bit of background on him before he comes on the air in just a few minutes. And also I want to take a moment to let you know that this show this morning is dedicated to all of the parents of the Men in the Wings program. And you know, that's the other side to the incarcerated men, the parents, the families of the men who are home waiting for their sons or husbands or daughters to come home from incarceration. There's a real depression or sadness that stays with those folks. There's a lot of challenges, a lot of frustration in working through the separation between family members due to incarceration. And we'll be highlighting some of that today as well. So we're going to dedicate our show to all of those parents. And we have many of them. We've had close to 2,000 men in the WINGS program throughout the last 6 years. And this September, we begin actually our seventh year in the Philadelphia prison system. And July 17th, we have two classes of men graduating at the House of Corrections and at CFCF, the Caron Framo Correctional Facility. And so we are moving forward. Men are doing well. And, you know, it's not without challenge because it is a journey. Reentry is a journey. We've had many successes, but also we've had some setbacks. In the last year, we've had two men who were in the WINGS program actually go back through poor choices, poor decisions. One of them actually returned due to, you know, a confrontation, a physical confrontation with someone. The second one returned because of his decision to be in a stolen car and show up at a casino. So I'll just tell you that decision-making is through and through the WINGS program, which is part of our focus in my father's vineyard. We've had more than 15 years of reentry work and recovery from substance abuse. And so the men have to be, you know, focusing on good decision-making. And I just tell you that as we begin our show, we're going to talk about this with Jeff, who has made some good decisions, who's gained some wisdom from past decisions and past mistakes. And like all of us, you know, it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters most is where you're going. And so with that, I just want to remind our guests that you're listening to, again, our 15th broadcast, and it's a privilege to be here back on the air. I want to thank Dale and Jane for the opportunity to broadcast live here at Holy Spirit Radio at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. And it's just a blessing to be here. You know, I'm reminded every time I come here of my own conversion, which took place, you know, many years ago. And the Lord brought me through, you know, a whole life in aviation and called me to move forward into a new career in doing God's work. And after, you know, we began that, you know, the Lord blessed me with even some aviation projects. But I just tell you that, you know, it's been a long time now. And since 1999, I was actually on the show as a guest myself in 1999 with Bill Miller on Voices for the Unborn. And I don't forget, you know, where I've come from, those roots. We're now in the year 2017, and 18 years have passed since I made that transition. And that's part of what we do in the Wings program, is we discuss the faith of our men, you know, and how it evolved on the inside of prison walls. One of the guys who is highlighted in the Wings program is a man who was the founder of the Crips. And Stan Tookie Williams was actually the founder of the Crips. And he spent a lot of years inside prison. And he spent probably about 5 years in the hole. And in his testimony towards his faith, he mentions that he found God in the hole. And so, you know, a lot of our men are developing their faith. They have time to actually, work on their relationship with God. And it's, you know, it's no coincidence, you know, God is giving them time on the inside. On the outside, people are too busy very often with hobbies and sports and drug addiction and other things and don't even give God, you know, the time of day. And so with that, we have a great focus on our show, which is called Finding God in Prison. And just want to remind you, too, today that we have a transitional home for men down at Torsdale and Bly Avenue that's coming along. However, again, it's not without challenges. And please pray for us and pray for the success of our Wings program in prison and the success of the Wings home. And also for our men today who are doing well and succeeding. In our last show, we highlighted seven men who were doing well. Gary Ruffin, Tom McKinley, Jeff Collins, Terrence Cradle, Kevin Williams, Chris Connolly, and Jacoby McFadden. And, you know, today we'll have Jeff on the show for the second time. Jeff was our first guest in the program Finding God in Prison. He was also our first speaker in the Wings Men program in Bucks County. And Jeff did a great job of touching the students at Pensbury High School East and West, and also the Valley Day School and the Center for Student Learning, as well as Morrisville High School. Jeff did very, very good job here also on the radio, and has moved forward in his own recovery and reentry process. Jeff and I met actually at the House of Corrections. And he started the Wings program November 18th, 2013, completed 14 sessions in the Wings program, and was discharged on February 14th, 2014. And Jeff also completed many sessions over at Drexel University. And I believe Jeff is calling in at this moment. And he, Jeff, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Mr. Collins. How are you?
Yes, how are you, sir?
Good. Very good to hear from you, Jeff. And I just want to say, you know, God bless you. And thanks for your friendship and for your, you know, time today on the air at Holy Spirit Radio.
Thank you. Thank you just the same, Joe. I'm really grateful to have you in my life. You know, that was part of. I said to myself, I said, you know, God's been so good to me, you know, and I always, it's always an honor to talk about, you know, how his mercy kept me and his grace, you know, and meeting you was part of that grace, you know.
Well, I appreciate that, Jeff, and, you know, there's no coincidences in my life, and, you know, I was just speaking to our listeners earlier about how you were our first guest here on the radio show and also our first speaker in the Wings Men program. You joined the Wings program way back when, Jeff, in November 18th, 2013, and at the House of Corrections. Do you remember that day?
Yeah, I do, you know. That was like one of the best things I could have ever did. And sure enough, be sitting in the cell all day, you know. you have to be doing something with yourself, you know, or wanting to do a program or school or something in order to get out of that lockdown that they kind of kept us on, you know?
Right. Yeah, I know it well. As I'm over in those facilities on Mondays and Wednesdays. And so, you know, November 18, 2013, we're talking about close to 4 years ago. And a lot has happened in that time, you know. And can you give us a little bit of an update on, you know, what you've accomplished since 2013 in your discharge?
Oh, okay. Well, just to go back just a notch before that, I was kind of messed up. I was addicted to heavy drugs and stuff, and you know, I never really wanted to hurt anybody or do anything stupid to get my drugs. But you know, I would kind of like be at the gas station and kind of hustle that way. But I had got locked up for a solicitation charge, and I wound up in the HOC, and you know, that's a light charge, but my overall. When you get 10 light charges, they equal to a heavy charge. You know what I mean? And so my point scale was kind of up high. And when I got there, you know, I didn't want to sit around, like I said. And I really got a chance to do some soul searching. And you know, I was asking God and praying hard for a way out. I just couldn't find a way out, man. So when I came there and met you for the first time, you know, I don't know, it was. The things you were saying kind of clicked for me, you know. And actually, I was really humble and open-minded to the things you were saying because those things actually taught me some things about myself and about life general after being in the fog for so many years. I think I was out there for about 25 years, you know. And so, but as time went on and I just kept coming back, man, and the program, the Wings program, got more and more exciting to me, and you know, I was applying the things that were being taught to my life there in prison. I didn't waste time. I started there, you know, and how to change my circle of influence and stuff like that. And you know, so to make a long story short, you know, I followed through, but it's no doubt in my mind that it was God's grace and mercy on my life that kept me through it all, you know. Grace when it was in my darkest times, and then mercy and the mercy when I was in my darkest times, and the grace when you know, open doors came and I met people in my life like you. So when I left out of there, I just kept meeting people. I was praying to stay on the same path. It wasn't easy because I got locked up in the summertime and I got out in the winter time, so you know, I had on shorts and a t-shirt and no coat. You know, they didn't give me a coat or anything, so my family still didn't believe in me. I kind of went to my family's house and they let me stay a couple days, but eventually them still not believing in me asked me to leave. So and I couldn't wait to get touched down to the Wings program because I was supposed to meet you that following Monday, but a lot has happened since then. And You know, it's hard to skip stuff because it is such a significance in my life on, you know, the way I feel. But, you know, since then I have went to school, man, and I got my diploma, but because, you know, when I came up, I didn't need all that. But, you know, it took me a year to actually get my brain working again. And you know, I wanted to quit so many times, and I just kept at it, man, you know, through the support, once again, grace, and all the support I received in my life from my counselors and teachers and everybody else, you know, kind of encouraged me to keep stay along the way. And 14 months later, I received my diploma, you know, and then I had to think about something quick that I can do at my age, you know, that wouldn't take too much physical labor, that I can, you know, make a decent wage for the way this day and age, you know. And so I mean, if I can't do anything else, I can drive, you know. So I decided to go to Allstate Career School and went there, and I'm almost finished. I'll be finished in September. I already have 3 job pre-hires just waiting for me to get done. And, you know, the school's been tough. It's been tough. You know, it's not all just driving. You know, I had to know federal and state laws and motor parts and all that stuff. And so I'm getting through it, you know. And I went to Smith and Solomon also, and I got a 2017 industrial truck license. You know, I had already was licensed for the past 10 years, but I had to renew it in order to be hireable now. And I'm still involved in the Brosnan Learning Center, where I achieved my diploma at, and I had another certificate in building maintenance. So, you know, it's just a blessing to be able to actually put these things to use now. And, you know, because I already acquired that stuff, but I just couldn't follow it through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, Jeff. And I've been tracking your progress for the past 4 years, as you know, partly because of my dedication to Wings, but the other part is your dedication and commitment to Wings itself. And, you know, in front of me, you know, I've got a picture of you and I at the convention center on the day of your graduation from Gardensia.
And,
and that was a great day, you know, in watching you, you know, receive your diploma. And that in itself, you know, was a huge achievement, where 83% of the people in America don't succeed in recovery. You know, you got your diploma and are still doing well. And, you know, that's an awesome thing. The other side, Jeff, is that we have developed a personal relationship. And, you know, as I look at your texts, you know, which are many over the months, I have a list of them, you know, and you know, just reached out here on 4th of July. I was thinking about you today. Have a happy 4th of July. Love and respect, Jeff. You know, that's a beautiful thing, man. And that doesn't come to just anybody. We have to develop those relationships. And we've done that in 4 years, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's
a powerful thing. I've got another here, you know, for an Easter blessing, you know, that we corresponded as well. You know, thanks, Joe. Love you back, man. Hope you and your family have a blessed day, if it wasn't for Jesus, you know. And so,
yeah,
you know, this is your, you know, putting your faith into action. And this is what you've done over the last 4 years. And it's a journey. It takes time. And so, but
yeah,
I give you a lot of credit for seeing these achievements through, being a finisher. And, you know, you mentioned the high school diploma, and I remember in those 14 months you and I talking about chemistry and the challenges of getting through that, and mathematics and things, and you know, I don't know if I can do this, and you know, and you did, you got through, and you know, and it took a lot of time and effort. You actually, you know, had to put your work aside at one point to make this thing happen. Am I right?
Yes. Well, I give it all to God, first of all. I mean, you know, I couldn't do it without Him. They say self-control is a spiritual gift, and I had to exhibit that self-control, you know. Like, I really had to put that self-control into action, you know. And, I mean, I stayed home on the weekends. I had friends calling me, wanting me to go out. You know, I studied. I dedicated 2 days out of the week just for study time and homework, you know, and tried to get a balance with it all. I had to take time even to catch a movie now and then. But for the most part, I had to focus and remain focused on what I was trying to do, because time is crucial for me. I'm in the third quarter of my life, and you know, it's really detrimental that I do this, man. I need this like I need air to breathe. I always say that. I need my career like I need air to breathe, you know, because that's all I have, man. And I'm just so grateful that I have my health and my strength, and, you know, because I wouldn't be able to do any of this without that, you know. But for the most part, the self-control, man, I'm home, sitting home now, doing some study, you know. So, yeah, it was definitely a challenge, you know, and it definitely takes self-discipline not to act out when so much temptation is in the world and so many other things come at you at the same time, you know.
That's great words, Jeff, and it does take a lot of discipline to succeed in reentry and to not go back to the habits and to the ways in which, you know, someone may have, proceeded. In my hand right here at the studio, I've got a book. It's called A Pathway to God's Presence. And down below it says, "This is the way, walk in it," from Isaiah 30:21. And it takes discipline to walk in that way and to not go back down the same road time and time again. And we talk about this, you know, concurrently. We have multiple classes in place inside the PPS, and we have two graduations coming up on the 17th. And, you know, as you know, you've been a speaker at multiple high schools. You've been to Drexel. You've also been on the radio before. And I'd like to invite you, Jeff, on the 17th to join us in the afternoon at CFCF and try to give the men some words of wisdom, as you've succeeded in 4 years of reentry, and you are a graduate of the WINGS program. And so if you can, you know, consider it, think about it, and if you have the time to join us for the graduation from 1:45 to about 5 p.m. on that Monday afternoon, the 17th of July, I'd love to have you.
Okay, yeah, I would love to be there. The schedule, I had to make adjustments and stuff, you know, because the schedule is steady change. My schedule changed from the summer hours to the, from the winter hours to the summer hours. In the wintertime, I work at night. In the summertime, I work in the daytime. So it kind of threw everything off. And then I have the 20 hours of school on the weekends. And, you know, my schedule is really, really busy. But it would be an honor to be there and speak to some of the guys. If I can make those arrangements, I surely will. I surely will at least inquire about it.
Yeah, that's great, Jeff. I appreciate that. And because I really need you on the WINGS team now and in another, you know, platform, which is inside. And you can only do that because you're off probation for how long are you off probation now?
I've been off. Actually, I maxed out in jail.
Okay.
Yeah, I maxed out. I had about 9 months probation left, and that is why I stayed in there so long for a soliciting violation. And actually, I could have gotten out. You know how the court system wants you to take certain deals and stuff. But I said, well, why am I going to keep going through that? I might as well just do the 9 months, and then I'll be done with them, you know. And thank God that I haven't gotten in any trouble since then.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's great, you know, with God's hand, you've been, you know, blessed with discipline and self-control, which is really critical on the outside. Let me ask you a question, Jeff. You mentioned the circle of influence earlier, and, you know, the circle of influence incorporates everyone, family, friends, and what can you say about the importance of being very careful about your circle, especially where family members are concerned and close friends?
Well, I just recently, when I'll say within the past three to four months, actually had to kind of make some changes in my, you know, as far as sifting some people out of my life and trusting new people, you know. I mean, it's people that I've known for years, but, you know, I was addicted for years too. So how about with a clean mind, with a renewed mind, I'm very careful, you know, and people that I thought was my friends weren't really my friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to kind of let them go. And, you know, after you reach out and reach out and reach out to people, and then they don't reach back and stuff like that, you know, that kind of takes its toll on you. So instead of staying in a rut, meet new people. You know, you give somebody else a chance. You know, it's not easy trusting people nowadays, but you know, with new people, you can kind of give them a chance because you haven't developed any history with them yet. So, you know, I kind of trust the guidance. Like I have kind of like a, guidance from my higher power that, you know, like a discernment. That kind of can kind of discern people when I talk to them. I can kind of feel their spirit if they're good people or if they're bad people. And, you know, I kind of just, you know, try to stay in touch. And if they're doing the same thing I'm doing, then and trying to make something out of themselves, that's fine. And not to knock on people that are struggling, because I'm all for helping a person. But now it's so many people, you don't know who to trust and who not to trust, you know? Mm-hmm. I pray for God for healing in my family, because my family is scattered all over the place. I got a brother in North Carolina, a brother in Vegas, you know? And then the siblings that I do have, I only talk to maybe one or two, because everybody's doing their own thing, I think it is. I don't think it's the thing where, well, they say it's not closeness. It's nothing like that. They say it's just everybody's busy. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, family should be a little closer than what my family is, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I just pray for healing in my family in those areas where they need healing at, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, that's all I can do, man.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's great. As I recall your story, Jeff, as you grew up in a household where there was a liberal attitude towards drinking and maybe some other things, what can you say to the children out there? I mean, what's the solution for children who are between 7 and 14 who are growing up with parents who are partaking in a lot of alcohol, a lot of casualness towards marijuana and other drugs?
Well, you know, that's kind of tough for a child, because a child really doesn't know what he wants yet. You know, he kind of mimics what he sees his parents do and older people around him do. You know, I'm talking about me, you know, and you know, wishing that I made a different decision, you know. It's hard to really know what to say to a child that is influenced by that stuff. But I think
when
you have to kind of have to think for yourself a little bit, you know. If you think ahead, a couple steps ahead, and you know, I ask myself today, what benefit am I getting out of drinking or drugging, or, you know, I look at the bad effects of it. You know, when I talked at the school the last time, one kid said to me, he said, how can something that feels so good be so bad? You know, and, you know, that's because he's not looking at the big picture. You have to look at the big picture of it. Okay, it feels good now, but what is it actually doing to your body? What is it actually doing to your brain, you know? Where is it actually getting you? You're just wasting money and you're damaging your health at the same time. So, right. You know, I have to talk to kids. I talk to kids in that sense.
Yeah.
You know, but adults need to, you know, they already know, you know, it's just a matter of them making the right decision.
Right. A lot of kids are influenced by parents who are addicted or abusing alcohol. I remember one of the things you said on the live broadcast here last time you were on the air with us, which is October 31st, 2014, Jeff. You mentioned that, you were told that, you know, as long as you're, you know, drinking or doing this at home with us, your father, your uncles had mentioned it's okay to do it. And this had kind of been, you know, an acceptable practice, and this is the negative mentorship that, you've gained a lot of wisdom from that. And I just want to highlight, Jeff, there was a young lady, if you remember, in Pensbury High School who was considering the dropout direction. And after your talk and your counsel, you were able to make an impact on her. If you're calling.
Yeah, that was a blessing. That was definitely a blessing.
Yep. And two days later, the principal had called and said that, you know, this young lady, Haley, had decided not to drop out and was going to continue her, you know, her time in high school and then graduate as a result of listening to you directly. And do you recall that?
Yeah, it's that's, you know, I still remember the tears rolling down that little girl's face, man. I wanted to hug her, man, and just tell her it's going to be all right, you know, and you have to kind of make your own decisions, but you got to think logical, you know, what's the best thing for you at your age, you know, which wouldn't have been moving out of the house and trying to take on a job. That's the old, back in the old ways, you know, when you didn't need a high school diploma and all that stuff. Sure, you know, you could do that. Then you get a job, and if you're making $100 a week, you were doing good. But now you need an education, and you know, for a kid like that to have so many struggles at home, oh my goodness, man! All you can do is pray for her and try to talk to her, and you know, and I'm sure God will do the rest, man. You know,
exactly. I want to take a moment, Jeff, to remind our listeners that you're listening to Joe Montone, your host of Finding God in Prison. This is our 15th broadcast, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be here. We're speaking with Mr. Jeff Collins, a graduate of the WINGS program and a gentleman who's doing very well in his recovery and reentry program and has a lot of evidence of that, those achievements. And again, we're listening to WISP Holy Spirit Radio on 1570 AM and WCOJ on 1420 AM. And so we're back here, Jeff, for our 15th broadcast. Imagine that. And it's just a blessing to be here. As I was here in 1999, believe it or not, as a guest myself, and have come a long way with the help of Holy Spirit Radio. Our work in reentry and recovery has evolved, you know, in so many ways. We've done, you know, much for God based on our commitment to doing the right thing for people. And I just tell you that having you on as a guest for the second time and highlighting your successes is really a blessing as well. I can't thank you enough for joining us. And we have much to talk about. I want to ask you a couple of questions now. You know, how old are you, Jeff?
I'm 54.
Okay.
I'm 54. I'm not getting any younger, that's for sure.
And
a little stiff when I get up in the morning, but I'm in great shape, you know?
Yeah. You mentioned that time is very important, and it's crucial. You're not getting any younger. And also, in the WINGS program, we highlight, you know, time management, the 168. What wisdom have you gained over the years of addiction and incarceration as to the value of free time?
Well, I wish I could take back the hands of time, but I can't. You know, and I think that's why I'm so, that's why it's so important to me now about using my time wisely. I don't have time to waste with negative people or people that aren't trying to do anything. I don't have time to waste on nothing jobs that aren't paying any money and no benefits. I don't have time to waste on school courses that aren't going to mean me any well. I don't have time, you know, to waste with a lot of different things, man, that just don't mean anything. You know, like, opposed to when I was younger, I wasted 30 years. I wasted 30 years living on a cloud, saying to myself, oh, well, by the time I turn 25, I'll do this. And then when I turned 30, I still didn't do it. I said, well, by the time I turn 40, I'll do something else. And by the time I was 40, I still didn't do it. You know, it's a lot of young people that, you know, not to say that the material things mean so much, but, you know, because I'm rich in spirit. You know, right now, through all of my life experiences, I have become rich in spirit, and I'm truly grateful for that. But, you know, you need to live, and, you know, I would like to experience life and life more abundantly, you know. And if it wasn't for time wasted, I would have some of the things that I want to have and be able to see some of the places that I would have seen, you know. I've never been out of the United States. I would like to take a trip out of the United States, you know. So, you know, that's just one thing, one or two things, but mm-hmm. I can go on and on, you know. I'm very, very wise to how important it is to manage my time right now. And that is why, as much as other people might think what they want to think, or, you know, like I don't have time and stuff like that to be with them and stuff like that, it's really not that. It's just that the only time I have right now, I need my undivided attention for myself right now, you know, in order to make things work. And to God, I get up 4 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, when I can't sleep, I say, oh, well, my daddy must want to talk to me, you know. I hit my knees and, you know, and I try to hear what he's trying to say to me, you know. So, yeah, I think that I've learned a valuable lesson in time. And I always tell the younger people, listen, don't take for granted because you're 21 that you don't have to finish school now, or that you can stay on this dead-end job for 20 years and think that you're going to be somebody. No. You have to go to school and get your education. You know, that's just the way the world has changed. And, you know, that might have been fine back in the 70s, but now education is where it's at. So I really stress that. And I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet, man. But I have about 8 certificates on my wall. I plan on adding at least 2 more, you know?
Excellent, Jeff. And how old were you when you got your high school diploma, Jeff?
I was 53.
Okay. And so that's a message in itself about finishing school for those kids who are in high school, you know, thinking about not finishing, thinking about, you know, putting their education on hold, procrastinating, sometimes just going different directions. And so at 53, you know, you finished your high school, and you're not finished yet. You've done
I was actually embarrassed. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell my family that I was in school for my high school diploma. I was telling them little fibs that I was in college, and you know, I just did not want them to know at 53 years old I did not have a high school diploma. So right. And I'm so grateful now, you know, that I finally got it. And then when I got it, I was able to call and say, oh, well, I got it. And, you know, and that, and then to hear them very happy, just as happy as me, it made all the difference, you know. And then I have younger people in my family that are graduating from college already, you know, that are way past where I should have been at. So, you know.
Well, I have to say, you know, you've done a great job, and it takes a lot of humility, and some things can be embarrassing, but, you know, God strengthens us, you know, and, you know, for all things are possible with God, in Luke 1:37, and you've achieved that level of getting your GED, and you moved on for your CDL license. You've succeeded.
Yeah. I'm still doing college bridge classes now, Mr. Montone.
Yeah.
So that's just really to keep me sharp on my math and all my other stuff. And, you know, because I do plan on taking a college course after the fact, you know,
mm-hmm.
a little bit later down the line.
Excellent, and that's great. As you look back at the Jeff Collins of 5 years ago, Jeff, 5 years ago and the Jeff Collins of today, can you tell me, you know, one or two of major changes that you had to make?
5 years ago, man. 5 years ago, I can talk about myself bad. I mean, I can't think of anything that was going on good with me 5 years ago, except one thing, and that's that I always kept a relationship with the good Lord above. even in my darkest moments. That's what I talk about when I say mercy, you know, because when I was on those streets and it felt like I was in the world all by myself, I had lost all contact with my family, my friends. I didn't have nothing or nobody. I didn't have nowhere to lay my head or any of that stuff. And the only one that was with me was God, you know. But so to think 5 years ago, I can shed a tear, man. I when I think back like that, I shed a tear because, you know, to think that I would be sitting, you know, in my own home now and had accumulated a few things and I didn't sell them like I usually would have done 5 years ago. I couldn't keep nothing 5 years ago. So, you know, but most of all, I have a peace of mind, and that's the thing that I'm very, very thankful for, the renewance of my mind, man, because I couldn't even think straight 5 years ago.
Right, and let me jump in on that, Jeff. You know, 5 years ago, there were some addiction issues, correct?
Yeah, it was a lot of addiction.
So when you're under the influence, your mind is not your own, and you've had to clear that and clear your mind, and God has replaced all that chaos with peace of mind, which you can't buy. You cannot buy a peace of mind in a mall or in some store, retail store. You've got to do the work, you know, and you've done the work, and you've eliminated some things, and you put in some new things, and, you know, as a result, you are making an impact on other people, but most of all, you're making a great impact on your own self, your own future, you know, creating, you know, good directions, and, you know, that puts you in a position where you can, you know, do greater things for the Lord himself. You know, the Lord says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And you are doing that right now, and you've done it in the past through Wings. And you were going to touch other people with your own story, and your story gets, you know, stronger. It gets better as you continue to, you know, grow yourself in many directions, highlighting today education, work, future work plans, you know, all good stuff, residential stability as well.
Yeah, and that's why it's so hard for people that are addictive. Take it from a person that used to be addictive. It's hard for a person that is in addiction to come out of addiction because their mind is gone. You know, if they don't, that's why I say when I talk about grace. See, I'm talking about grace and mercy here today, man. You know, it's when your mind is gone, you need God's grace to bring people in your life and to open doors to where you can get the proper help that you need so that you can begin a process of change through other people.
Agreed. And that's so important what you just said, Jeff. We know I've done a lot of work over the years with men who were and women who were addicted. And as you're speaking, it reminds me of a guy that I delivered meals to in Bristol through the company nonprofit organization Aid for Friends, who I, you know, did some volunteer work for 10 years, week in and week out, had many families. But this one young man, if you remember in the Wings program, his name was Chad, and he lived in Bristol. He was about 25 years old when I met him, had 13 years of addiction and substance abuse. He got clean and sober at 25, but in 25 and a half, he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Oh,
And for 6 years, I brought him meals. Every Friday, conducted the Wings program in his apartment for other guys who were part of Narcotics Anonymous. And I just tell you that the phraseology you're using, his mind is gone, and Chad had to get clean and sober to get his mind right. And even though the MS came to him at 25, his mind was still focused, and he was able to become a sponsor to other men and make an impact on other people. But unfortunately, He went from walking normally to walking with braces and then to a wheelchair and had to be removed, actually, and brought to Inglis House up on City Line Avenue after 6 years because he was unable to take care of himself, and he was in an electric wheelchair. But that 13 years of drug addiction had made an impact on his mind and his body. And I just tell you that nobody knows the future, but we have to get that grace and mercy that you mentioned, is so important. And, it's made an impact clearly on your life, Jeff. Now at, in your early 50s, you have a lot of potential. Where do you see yourself going in 1 or 2 years from today? Where do you see your life going?
Well, I know that I know when I'm finished school in September, I'm going to be working, probably putting a lot of hours in work and saving my money. And I would like to purchase my own home instead of renting, and I would like to find a wife, I know God will bless me with a good Christian woman. And, and also furthering my education, maybe in 2 years, things will kind of pan out with the new career and, I'll be more settled in my home, and then I can probably take on maybe another college course of some sort. I don't plan on being on the road for more than a couple of years, but I do plan on going indoors, and learning more about the industry.
Okay, excellent. The trucking industry is huge, and by the year 2030, I believe they're going to need 1 million truck drivers. And it's an amazing amount of drivers, just like pilots in the aviation field. 69% of all pilots in America will retire in the next 13 years, and they have to be replaced. The trucking industry is even more of an example of having a great demand for truckers. And as you get that license, you mentioned that you had 3 jobs waiting, and I was just wondering what companies those were, if you mentioned.
I just received a phone call the other day. This was the second phone interview. They left me a message. They said, "Yes, we have your application. We did our research, and you look like a good candidate to work for our company. When you finish, please give us a call." And that was a U.S. Express, and then it was a Western Truck Lines. They called me and they said, "Thank you for choosing Western as your first choice." And they had my whole portfolio because the school employment, we have an employment part for the school that actually reaches out to the companies. And coming from a school like Allstate is like one of the number one trucking schools in Philadelphia, and their name is golden, man. So when you come out of there, they've been calling me for the past 3 months, actually, waiting for me to finish. So and then PTL Trucking also called me and left me interview message and stuff like that. But the money is great. They pay your school tuition back. They give you like a $10,000 sign-on bonus. You can start with about $70,000 a year, and great benefits, medical, health care. I can go on and on. And you have the option within maybe 3 months to become a trainer yourself, and then your pay goes up maybe $500 or $600 more,
Okay.
So it's very good. It's a good, fast way to make some money, and for a guy my age,
And would you say that there are numerous opportunities for guys with a record in the trucking industry?
Well, yeah, we have guys there now that I think one guy did 10 years in jail, man, and, came out. He decided to go to school, and there's companies that hire you because if you even get into Allstate, the process just to get in there is not easy. You know, they interview you just like you're interviewing for a job. And if they don't think that you were hireable, they will not accept you. So, therefore, if you're in there, and, you know, guys that are in there that did time in jail and stuff like that, and then guys from the past, you know, prior to our class, that has already been there, they have on the board the guys that graduated from 2016 and got jobs. They show you the companies they went to, and the success rate is 94%. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great, Jeff. And, yeah. You know, in that book I mentioned, A Pathway to God's Presence, it says this in Philippians 1:12. I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. And, you know, as you have come through many, you know, challenges in your own life, and you've created, you know, been blessed with many achievements, you know, today, Jeff, you've done a wonderful job of spreading the good news. And every conversation we've had, I know, you know, you have, you know, brought, you know, God's name into our conversation. It's a beautiful thing. Many conversations, many texts and emails. And so, you know, it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going. And clearly God has helped you to go in the right directions. And in Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." And that's what I'm getting, that I'm feeling that he is directing your path in so many ways, including being here on the radio for the second time. And, you know, he has really changed your life, has he not?
Yes, yes. I'm very, very grateful for where I'm at today, and you know, especially when I think from where I came from. But it's still a lot of work to do. It's still a lot of work to do, and I realize, too much goes on in my life for me not to have a good relationship with the God, with my God, you know, and because I can't do it by myself, and this is definitely where my strength comes from, to move to the next page, you know?
Right.
It's definitely where my strength comes from, so.
Jeff, as you look back on the WINGS program itself, how has the WINGS program impacted you on the inside and on the outside of prison walls?
Well, like I was saying before, on the inside, you know, it helped me because, you know, like I said, the first thing it was teaching about was the circle of influence. And, you know, in jail, that's definitely helpful. You know, you don't want to surround yourself with the wrong people. And, you know, kind of how to prioritize my life, you know, keeping God first and, you know, family and work and, you know, and friends and you know, just kind of keeping a balance with everything. So I started practicing that stuff even in there. You know, in jail, I started practicing that stuff, you know. And I think that's how I wound up meeting the right people and staying out of trouble. And people in return, I hadn't had any problems with anyone, you know. Usually, you know, the guys pick out people that they think is weak and this and that and try to bother them or steal from them or something. But God's grace and mercy, you know, and people saw what I was doing. You know, I always was in church. I always was at the WINGS program, and really I didn't have any problems. You know, I actually got a lot of respect, and I think other people were influenced to do the same thing, you know, just watching what I was doing. So, you know, when I got out, I really was changed. The transformation was already made, but my family didn't believe that. You know, my mom always believed in me, but I stayed at my sister's house. She kind of didn't believe it, that I was actually changed, you know. And so she had asked me to leave, and it was horrible because I had to get a taste of that street life all over again for a couple days, and then I finally came out of it and went into another recovery program. But all the time, I kept in my mind and in my heart all the things I've learned through the Wings program, you know, and keeping a relationship with God, you know, and that's really what kept me through it all, you know. And like I said, it's God's grace opened doors for me, and, you know, and I just continue to keep a balance with everything.
That's wonderful. Wonderful, Jeff, and I appreciate your support of the Wings program. And I'm looking forward to having you with us as a guest on the 17th of January, of July, excuse me, at CFCF in the afternoon from 2:30 to 5. There'll be a graduation there. It'll be like our 40th graduation class, roughly, in the PPS. You know, close to 2,000 people have come through the Wings program now in the last 6 years, and many are doing well. Jeff, we only have another minute to go. I want to thank you for being with us on the show. You've been a great guest, and I really appreciate your friendship and your support of Holy Spirit Radio here at WISP. You know, I want to wish you the very best in your driving career. Whichever company you work for, drive safely, and, you know, it's been a privilege and a pleasure to have you. And so thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Montone.
You're welcome. You're welcome. God bless. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in with us today. We only have another 30 seconds. But again, you're listening to Joe Montone, your host. This is Finding God in Prison. We want to thank Dale and Jane for the opportunity to be here once again for our 15th broadcast. I'd like to thank our private donors who have supported us here and as well as at the Wings home and in prison with the Wings program. I want to thank the Connolly Foundation and the Wells Fargo for helping us out. God bless you. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time on Finding God in Prison. Lighting up the world as it lay sleeping.